First question, but you have a long career already, but some of our reader never heard of Pyogenesis. Can you tell us more about you?
Yeah, well, we formed in 1991, and we started, and we released a couple of albums till 2002, and then we had a 30-year break till 2015, and then we came back with the first part of a trilogy about the change of the society in the 19th century, and just 3 or 4 weeks ago we released the second part, A Kingdom to Disappear, of the trilogy.
Alright, the name is a little bit, strange. Where does it come from?
Well, the title is, it's got two meanings. The first meaning is Poland was divided by Russia, Prussia, which is Germany, and Austria in the late 18th century, and was erased from the map throughout the whole 19th century. So it completely disappeared, and there was no Poland anymore until the end of the First World War. And the second is the second meaning is that time changed so much. I mean, if you take a look at the time before the 19th century, like the 18th century ended with the French Revolution, and the 20th century started with, let's say, the First World War, you know, including cars and planes and stuff. And these, you know, in between there was the 19th century, which invented a completely new era, and the inventions of, you know, machines in general, and things like that. So the kingdom to disappear is like the power of people's hands, you know. Before the steam machine, for instance, people had to move everything by hand or with the help of animals, but the multiplication was like, you know, people. Two people can lift more than one, and with the steam machine and the train, it was, you just needed two persons to lift a weight that before had to be carried or moved by a thousand hands.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But don't you think right now we are living the kind of the same revolution with the internet and new technology?
No, because, you know, the roadmap is clear. Everything gets smaller and faster and has more capacity when it comes to gigabyte and terabyte, and the processors are, all they do is get faster. And the gadgets, you know, smartphones and computers, they get smaller and smaller, and it's clear where it just needs smaller, more capacity, and more speed. But with the invention of the aforesaid machines, something completely new was on the table, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We know about machines, and all we did is to develop them more and more and more, but it's not that something's brand new. You know, the last thing before the steam machine was the invention of the book print.
Yes.
And that was the last big invention, and after that, and that was 15th century, and after that, the steam machine and train. And, you know, all these kind of things, and the power to construct steel in huge amounts changed everything till today.
Okay.
Of course, computers and smartphones and internet, this is a big thing, but...
not to the same scale.
Yeah, it's digital. Of course, it's different than, you know, mechanic. But without the mechanic, the the digital world would not be able to exist, or it was a development of mechanics to lead to the digital world.
Okay. Within the band, within Pyogenesis, are you the one, the fan of history and the one working on such difficult subjects for the trilogy of the band?
Yeah, I write all the lyrics and all the music, so I would say I'm responsible for that.
And you think it's much better or more interesting, or even from your point of view, to talk about that than to talk about, I don't know, feelings, warriors, you know, the usual clichés of heavy metal?
Yeah, as you said, the usual clichés, and I don't want to sing about a battle. I don't want to, you know, this is not, yeah, it's out of my interest, and I have something to say. I want to tell the people about things that they might not know, or they might be interested but don't know much about it, and give them a chance to get into it. And this, you know, most metal bands, they sing about, as you said, yeah, battles and war and, you know, fights and, you know, all these masculine things. And this is out of the picture for Pyogenesis.
Okay.
Besides that, I don't know much about, you know, middle age battles and
okay.
what should I tell, you know?
So the third part of the trilogy is already written, like speaking, or are you still working on that?
It's not written, it's not recorded, and it will be done like the week before we go to the mastering. I have a studio at home where when I write songs, I instantly record them.
Okay.
And sometimes I think a song is finished, but then half a year later I return and change parts, and it's a long process. It's not done yet. It's not even halfway. The second part has just been released.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Music is my passion. I love to write songs. I love to record. This is like kind of my hobby. So even if the new record has just been released, I'm already working on new material,
sure,
not knowing if it's going to be part of the third part of the trilogy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Early on in the beginning of your career in the 90s, I checked your discography, and you were used to release a new album each one or two years. So
yeah.
Really at a fast pace. With the rebirth of the band 2 years ago, do you think to plan to keep the such high rhythm to release new record?
No, I don't have a plan for that. You know, when I write songs, it's not for the purpose of being released only. It's also fun to me. Even if I record an album that or songs that are not released, you know, that's still fun to me. There's still some time I spend on it, and I like it. And that means that I have the freedom to work on music, and if I feel like it's I have, let's say, 8 to 10 songs that fit together, you know, 8 to 10 songs out of, let's say, 20 songs that fit together, then I will compile them and work on them to make a record out of it.
Okay. If we come back a little to the past and to the previous album, A Century in the Curse of Time,
yeah.
If you take the whole time from writing to recording studio and after that tour. Is there one souvenir in particular that comes in your mind from that period?
Is there one what?
A souvenir?
Well, first of all, you know, after 13 years, it was a comeback album.
Yes.
And this, to me, this was kind of an important thing because I didn't know what people expect and will they like it, will they remember us, you know, all these kind of things, those doubts that you have as an artist. But once it's been released and we get really good press and a good welcoming from the fans, that of course, what can I say, that felt good for me, you know. So there was not one particular thing, you know, review by review that I read and good points in the magazines and all these kind of things that's bigger than just one specific moment.
Okay. We will talk about that later on in the interview, but you yourself, you work in the music business because you have your own structure. Why do you decide to not to release on your structure, but to try to get a contract, what you got with AFM?
Well, you know, I want to keep this separated from Hamburg Records because, first of all, I think it's good to have someone else working on it. If it's in, you know, me being the boss of the record company that's releasing the songs of my band, might cause some tension in the company, you know. Once I'm not satisfied with the work, then I don't want to have an effect on the climate that we have in the company between the workers and the people that work there. And second, it's of course very good to have an independent say from outside that maybe, you know, if people in AFM tell us, why don't you try this, why don't you try that, a point of view that, let's say, I didn't have, and, you know, if it's a good idea, I want to hear it, and we want to do it.
Mm-hmm. From outside, it seems the first thing when a band or an artist start a label, the first idea, maybe in your case it was wrong, it was to release its own music, and so you decided to go with another one.
Yeah.
Okay. In the way you mentioned already how you work, so you work home and so you have ideas and so you record them. Did you one way or the other change your routine for Kingdom to Disappear compared to Century?
No.
Or you work like that for 25 years or 30 years?
No. You mean if these two records, if the approach for these two records is different than before the break?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, I wrote the songs at home and then I went to the rehearsal and showed the others what to play. And today I already record the album while I write it. That's the basic change.
Okay. Meaning, is the band a democracy or it's... I mean, it's your band, you're the leader, you're the founding member, but how do you collaborate or work with the others, the three other guys?
Yeah, I'm in the lucky position that the others in the band like what I do and they have nothing to say against it because they appreciate the work and it's a structure that we work in for many years and as long as nobody complains about it, why should we change it?
No, sure. and do you have, spare songs? If you have 10 songs on the record, does it mean that you worked only on 10 songs, or you work on 15 or 20, and you then delete the one you don't like or doesn't fit?
No, there's plenty of other songs. For instance, you know, for the for A Century in the Curse of Time, the first part of the trilogy, I wrote a song that's been released on the second part now, I think, Into Disappear, which is Blaze My Night on Flame. I couldn't find a vocal melody that I 100% liked. I tried out really, let's say, I don't know, 5 to 8 different vocal melodies, and I they all were kind of good and okay, but that was not enough for me. So I didn't put it on the record, even if the song was finished in different versions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't put it on the record, and in the end, I'm very happy that I, after A Century in the Curse of Time was released, I took the song and said, thought it's a good song, but why can't I find a melody that I want to have on the record? And out of the blue, I had a melody. And I recorded it, and now it's on the record. So
with the experience, you also learn to be patient?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, the first records, we wrote a couple of songs, and when the writing process was over, we recorded all those songs and put them all on the record. And this is something that I understood is not the best way for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, out of statistically, out of 20 songs, you have a higher average of quality if you just take 10 songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you just write 10 songs and take 10 out of 10, it's statistically in mathematics that the quality will be higher.
I see. I understand. Yes. Okay.
The writing. There's, you know, sometimes I write a song and I have a verse and I have a chorus and I put it together and everything's fine and I could finish it. But then I come up with another idea that doesn't fit to the song, and I start a new project, a new song. And later on, half a year later, I come back to the first idea and finish it. So it's not that I, you know, sit there and write one song, and once that's done, the next one is on. It's more, you know, I work on the whole record at the same time.
Yes, I understand. Okay. Coming back to the music business in general, in the past you used to work for Nuclear Blast. Now you have your own structure. What do you think of the evolution of for the last 15 or 20 years of the music business in general, for the good or for the bad?
You mean the digital?
The digital, the way it works, the huge number of bands, it seems to be very easy to record and to release now. With the experience, do you think it went for the best or for the worst, or something in between?
Well, I mean, it's like it is, and I can change it. The way how to produce records, of course, that's good because you don't need a huge amount of money to have access to a quality recording. But as long as your songs are not good, or as long as your songs are not in a certain way that a certain amount of other people will like it, then your band won't make it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So still it's about the songwriting or an idea. A lot of, you know, especially when it comes to metalcore, it's not about songwriting, it's about ideas. You know, the riffing, when they cut up their staccato riffs and, you know, the double bass in a weird pattern, and all this is, you know, kind of programmed and almost unplayable for a regular drummer, but it's an idea, you know, and that's not much different from music in the dance scene. Mm-hmm. Where everything's programmed as well, and if it's well done and people like it, then you will get a following. And if not, then yeah, then not.
So the rule remain, if it's good quality, you might be able to find your audience and then have a career. If it's bad, it's bad.
Yeah, I mean, when you say quality, I also include ideas.
Yes.
Into quality, because, yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of dance music or techno, but, you know, there are some parts that are interesting, that are just simply interesting. For instance, you might I'm not at all a techno fan, but I remember this Levi's TV commercial with this puppet. There was a yellow puppet in a car that was kind of headbanging to a weird sound. You remember that?
Mr. Oizo, yeah. It's a French DJ.
Yeah, okay. And this is, I mean, it's not great music, but, you know, the way that sound went, this...
Yes.
That was interesting. That was just simply interesting. I mean, you cannot build up the career on this specific part, but that's why they picked it for the commercial, and that's why this song got attention. So I think ideas are important, and, you know, to try out new things, break boundaries, and yeah, that's it. That's
okay.
What metalcore does. That's what, you know, there's a German band, Eskimo Callboy. They mix dance music with metal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. It's not that I really like it, but it's interesting, and it's new and fresh, and it's got a right to be there.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now for two albums, it seems you like it, or I don't know, but you released a lot of video clips.
Yeah.
First of all, do you like that kind of exercise? Do you think it's a necessary pain? And do you think also it still remain a very strong tool for bands, even in the when you have YouTube and?
Before the break in 2002, it was not possible to record a video clip digital, you know, with a DSLR. And to edit it on a computer, you had to do the video clip on film, send the film to a company that develops the film. They sent that back a beta tape. Then
yes.
You needed a cutting room, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all these kind of things were so expensive. But on the other hand, you know, bands sold more records, so there was more money. But, you know, the video clips we did back then, they were okay, but there was no great footage of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays that we have the chance to, with smaller money, to achieve a really good looking output, I want to have that, you know, for myself, not just as a tool for the band, a marketing tool. It's also something that I have taught for me and my life. And you know, when I turn 80, then, you know, my kids and grandkids, they can look at it and see what I've done. This is part of my life. Same goes with photos, you know. Nowadays, on every show, there's five photographers with good equipment, that they shoot high-quality photos of you. And back then, there was, you know, just a couple of guys with flashlight cameras, and everything looked shit.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, I understand. So you're doing music for like professionally for 25 years, and maybe 30 or 35 years also as a hobby, as you mentioned. Basically, is there something that would make you stop writing or releasing music? Except death.
I can't imagine. Because, you know, as I said, it's my passion, it's my hobby. Other people, they, you know, they like riding their bike.
Yes.
Or, you know, tuning their car or whatever, and that's what they do in their spare time. I write music in my spare time.
Okay. But even if you could not release it at all, just for yourself, it would be enough?
Yeah. I mean, I did, in the 13-year break, I recorded music as well.
Uh-huh.
Different kinds of music, completely different kinds of music, but music is, you know, it lasts forever, and riding a bike doesn't.
Okay. Just a little question of the past, and then after that I have a short quiz just to have to know you better in terms of your musical taste. I checked in the early, in 92, I think it was the second EP you released called Ignis Creatio.
Yeah, it was the first EP.
Oh, the first, excuse me.
They sold it as a full record.
Of an LP. And it was released on a French label called Osmos Production. Was it a good souvenir at that time, and how did you land on a French label?
Well, we released to 7 inches before, and Osmos got attention of it and asked us to sign with them, and of course it was amazing that, first of all, someone from another country is interested in the band, and second, to release a full album, and they promised that they would put it out on CD, because before that everything was vinyl, you know. Today
we yes.
have vinyl and a 7 inch, but back then we were proud to hold a real CD of our band in the hand.
So it remained a good souvenir of the beginning of the band?
Yes, sure.
Okay.
And you know, today it's 25th anniversary of this year we have 25th anniversary
yes.
of the record, and on the tour we have 3 shows where we play this album in its entirety. We go on stage as the opener for the night with Ignis Creatio, and after that there's the official support band, and after that we are headlining the Pyrogenesis the rest.
Great. You did that for the first leg of the tour, for the 6, 7, or 8 shows you just performed, or the coming shows in Switzerland, Italy, and so on?
No, we did it in Düsseldorf and Leipzig.
Okay.
And we will do it in Milano.
Okay, good. So fans will be happy about that, I'm sure. Just a few questions just to finish this interview and have a better knowledge of your musical taste. Favorite song ever, if it's possible.
I can't say that, but I can tell you what's the song I listen to most.
Yes.
I have a you know, on iTunes or on your iPhone, when you listen to a song, it counts.
Yes.
And on iTunes, then you can see if you connect the telephone how many plays this song has, and the last time I looked it up, it's a piano song. Kimberly Starkey is the artist's name. It's just piano with no vocals, and the song is called Arrows. And I listened to it the last time I looked it up 2,500 times.
Okay. It shows that your variety of taste in music, like all of us. Least favorite song from Pyrogenesis?
There's a song on the Unpop record which is called My Style, which I don't like that much.
Okay.
Actually, a couple of songs that I wouldn't release nowadays. We spoke about this before, you know. We wrote a couple of songs and then we released it on the record. And I wouldn't do this. I don't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of songs that we shouldn't have released.
Okay. Imagine for the next record, for the third part of the trilogy, you have the choice of a guest, dead or alive. Who would you choose?
That's a difficult question. gentlemen.
Okay, I mean.
You know, of course, I would love to have someone like James Hetfield on the record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is so obvious and it's cheesy in a way, you know, to pick up the greatest the most known metal musician.
But it would be good for business after that. I would say, artistically speaking, maybe not, but.
That's what I mean when I say that's so cheesy.
Yeah, I understand. Imagine you have the choice to play a gig everywhere in the world or in any every location. Where do you have a dream to be able to play a gig in any place? Find a place in particular.
One night in Paris.
Okay.
I've never been to Japan with the band, and I would love to play there. It must be very exciting from what I hear from other people.
Yes. And finally, when you were a child or a teenager or maybe a young adult, what was the spark that lightened your thirst for music that is never ending and still continues now? I don't know, it was an artist, a video clip, a song, a riff, family member?
This record from Iron Maiden, Somewhere in Time, really caught me, and since then I follow metal.
That was the key element you that make you decide to choose the guitar and learn to play?
No, before I played guitar, I played bass.
Okay.
And because I was a Depeche Mode fan.
Uh-huh, good.
And I lost the bass in Depeche Mode. I didn't understand that it was keyboard.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah, but that made me play bass.
Okay.
And then, you know, then I got into metal and I found metal more interesting than pop music.
Than Cold Wave. Thank you very much for this interview, and I wish you the best for the future.
Yeah, thank you very much as well.
Take care, bye-bye.
Take care, bye.